And now, Barron's ranked top 100 independent advisors. It's time for Scott Hansen and Pat McClain of Hansen McClain's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hansen McClain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hansen.
I'm Pat McClain. Thanks for joining us.
Glad you are with us on this weekend as we talk about the world of finances. Both myself and my co-host here, we're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself, helping them plan their futures. And we come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. So whether you have advisors you're working with today, or you like to do things on your own and you'd want some more information, or maybe you don't even really like the whole concept of money and it's kind of a necessary evil in your life. Evil's a strong thing, but it's one of those things that you know you have to deal with. But
which is more common than most would think. The people that just have absolutely zero interest in.
It's very common. It's the majority of Americans.
Is absolutely
don't really like dealing with this stuff
at all.
We understand that. We really understand. And look, we've been doing this program for more than 20 years. You'll find at times we get way off in these tangents that have nothing to do with financial markets, nothing to do with investments. And part of that, we want the show to be somewhat listenable and enjoyable, so that those that have struggle with the area of finances, and they know they have to get smart at it. They know that they need to know enough so that they can ask the right questions. We want them to be comfortable and listen to the program. That's part of the reason we make this.
And actually, it would be.
And we get bored with it sometimes.
And it would be a perfect show if the only thing you walked away with is not being, figuring out how not to get ripped off with your financial decisions.
Well, hopefully we can do more than that.
Well, that is, at a bare minimum, that's what I would hope for. That's the hardest part of doing what we do is when people come in after the fact and you just cringe as to what types of things happen to them.
Yeah. So if you want to be part of the show, if you got a question for us, we'd love to take your call, answer your question on the air. And the nice thing about it, you can be anonymous if you want, make up a different name. We can care less. Just with the nice thing about the radio, it's another place to get information. Sometimes you just get a second or third opinion. You don't have to worry about, is this sales guy going to try to sell me something? We're not salespeople, and we just want to help you make the wise choice. So obviously, with a radio program, we want to have listeners. We want to make sure that we have a good program, so we like the good calls.
Yes.
And it's helpful for both of us. So all of us benefit from this. To join the program, question regarding your retirement, regarding taxes, regarding insurance, regarding other savings or investments, real estate, whatever it might have to be, anything in the financial planning realm, the number to join the program here on the air is 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. And numerically, if you want to reach Hansen McClain's Money Matters, it's 888-242-6766. And you can also visit us at moneymatters.com and send us a note that way, and sometimes we'll.
Yeah, or while you're there, you can actually watch one of our webinars. The one I would recommend is the unique process that we have developed that you can do on your own, or you can use our firm to do it, which is the 7 personal decision points.
Yeah, and you'll find that on our website. But we got a great program. Not only are we going to take your calls, but talk about really the concern that we have now. What happens? People rotate out of mutual funds into different funds at the wrong times. And how to kind of watch out for that. Really, when you're looking at mutual funds, particularly if you own stock funds right now, nobody likes owning stock funds when they're down. Things are down. It's attempting to say, am I owning the right thing? Should I be looking at something else? Whoa, my index is down, but there's these other actively managed funds that are moving better. Maybe I should sell those. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But, of course, take your calls. 888-2-HANSON's the number. Let's go to the phones, and we're going to talk with Jim. Jim, you're with Hansen McClain.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi, Jim. Thanks
so
for joining us.
So my question is, I'm 57 years old, and I got about 3 to 4 years for my retirement. My question is, do I have a balanced portfolio?
Okay.
And you hear about a balance 50% securities and 50% equities, and I think I know what my equities are. And I have about $900,000 in the stock market and between my IRA, my wife's 401k, and then a taxable account. And we have 80% of that in the total stock market index and 20% of that in international.
Okay.
And then when I'm wondering is my securities. I have property which is paid for that's worth $750,000 and $150,000 in cash. So that's also $900,000. So is that a 50-50 balanced portfolio?
Well, in a traditional sense, it is not.
So, you know, it's an interesting question, Jim, because what you're asking is, does my portfolio look like this, what academics might say a portfolio should look like? So you're, and you've said, well, 50-50, I've read and I've heard someone at my age, maybe a 50-50 allocation is appropriate for me. But what you have is a portfolio that is basically all of your retirement assets are in stocks, correct? 80% total stock market, 20% international. And the rest, you've got a portion in cash, and the other is real estate, which isn't fixed income. It's not real estate. It's not fixed income, nor is it equities.
But now in saying that, right now your portfolio is approximately 85% equities and 15% cash.
Because the property is this property that your home is where you live?
Yep.
Okay. So
do you plan on moving when you retire?
No, it's a small vineyard, so we'll be here for a long time.
Nice. Where do you live? Where's your vineyard?
It's North Sacramento area.
Sounds good.
Because it's your primary residence, you wouldn't include it in the equation at all. So the answer to your question is, yeah, your portfolio is not balanced.
So here's my point, and here's the one way to think about this, Jim.
But let's talk about how to get ourselves out of this situation as well.
Investments are based upon a couple things. One is your time horizon. How long do you have before you need these dollars? Well, you just said you're not going to be retiring for 3 or 4 more years, correct?
Correct.
So in 3 or 4 years from now, you're going to start needing some income from these. You're not going to spend the whole thing, obviously, at your first retirement. If so, you shouldn't be calling us. So you're not going to be blowing through this whole cash your first year in retirement. These retirement dollars, I would assume, are set up so you want them to provide you some income during retirement. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
So we've got 3 or 4 years before we need income. At that point, we're going to need to generate some sort of income. So kind of a first thing would be to say, how much income should I have set aside so that I can tap into my retirement 3 or 4 years from now when I go to retire and not have to worry about selling anything? Any stocks?
In because what you want that is to keep your equities through the downside and sell the equities on the upside. So
right. So
and let me ask this question. How did you react in the last market downturn? Was your portfolio similar to this?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I bought when I thought it was close to the bottom. I didn't hit it.
Okay.
But I bought because I had a lot of cash, and so I thought I would add to it on a correction.
And how much cash did you have at that point in time?
Well, at that time I had 250.
All right.
And why
so
was
I put 100 more in?
You're a good investor,
yeah,
Jim.
And why was it in cash? You weren't comfortable with the markets and you were accumulating?
Yeah, because business has been good again for the last 3 to 4 years, and so I had been making some money and some cash.
You're a great investor.
I know.
You're really good. Because that was textbook what you did.
So it's funny, Jim. At Hanson McLean, as most other financial advisory firms, we talk about building diversified portfolios, making sure a portfolio is one that someone can withstand the whatever happens in the markets and something that someone's comfortable with. I remember years ago meeting somebody who had retired and sold their business. He put 100% of his money in the S&P 500, in an S&P 500 index fund, 100% of his money. And I said, oh, that's an interesting approach. He says, yeah, I don't know if it's the right approach, wrong approach, but it's worked for me the last 12 years, and I have no intention of changing it. And
it was the right approach.
And I remember thinking, for him, that was the right approach.
As long as the correct portfolio is the one that you're going to own.
Long term.
Through the good and the bad.
And
it's almost like the...
When you're retired,
like
though...
It's like marriage. The correct wife is the one that you're going to stay with.
You're not
going to
think about selling, though.
Okay.
Most days.
I hope my wife's not listening.
But you want to make sure that you can have an income stream you're not going to be forced to sell anything, right? So if for example, you were retired today and you're taking some income, where's the income going to come from? You don't really have to be forced to sell stocks. So You know, with 85% of your portfolio in stocks, it would probably be prudent to increase that portion outside of equities.
Yeah. And so at the end of the day, just based upon our little conversation here, I think that if you ended up at a 70-30, based upon your behavior last time around, I'd be comfortable with that.
Yeah.
All the way out. And in saying that, I wouldn't make that move now. I would put new deposits in cash, and I might pare back the portfolio a little bit, but I would slowly get to the 70-30 over
but
the next
also,
3 years.
You said business is good. What kind of business are you in?
Construction business.
Okay, so.
And so it was great for years, and then, of course, it crashed and burned, and now it's come back.
And there's probably going to, so there's probably some correlation between the stock prices and your business income as well. So what we'd hate to see happen is a continual downtrend in equity prices and a downturn in the business environment at the same time where your business isn't doing as well.
So I'd get to the 70-30 and I'd do it over the next
probably over the next as you accumulate money, I wouldn't throw any more in the stock market.
Yeah, and then I might pare back the equities right now a little bit. I just do a little quick math. If you think you're going to get to the 70-30 by the time you retire,
or plan out and say, look, if I go to retire, how much income am I going to need at that time? And then make sure you've got
70 on what side? You're saying 70-30, 70
equities.
Equities. 70 equities.
Yeah, and
that's high, but based on what you're telling us, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that would be considered.
You're 57 years old. You might live, there's a good chance you're going to live another 30 years.
Could be.
Yeah.
And we like,
that's a long time.
And we like the 80-20 that you have between domestic and international. Yeah, it's not perfect. Exactly what we would build, but it's good enough.
It's good.
It's good enough.
Yeah.
And I figured that I could live off 4-5% of that a year.
Yep.
You know, starting with my retirement.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Particularly with the home paid off, vineyard in Northern California. Sounds beautiful. Sounds like you're in the right check, Jim. You're thinking the right way.
Appreciate the call.
Appreciate the call. And by the
way, very good, guys.
Thanks. This is not, we would not be telling everyone at 57 years old to have this kind of allocation. Jim's unique in the fact that he's just told us about us. And the best way you can learn your own risk tolerance is look how you've reacted at other periods of time. We're going to take a quick break. I've got the clock blinking at us here. 1-888-2-HANSEN is the number to join the program if you'd like to join Hanson McLean. We'll be right back. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To have your questions answered by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, visit their website at moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Back to one of the longest-running financial programs. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
We have been broadcasting this radio program for more than 20 years out of Northern California. We broadcast out of KFPK Sacramento, have been doing so for more than 20 years. And in the last 12 months, we expanded through all of California and Denver. And so if you are new to the program.
Most of California.
You can listen to the show everywhere.
You know, on the internet, but I don't think we reach.
You're
into
up in Eureka, Crescent City.
You could hear it there.
Where couldn't you hear it?
Siskiyou County.
Let me know where Siskiyou County is.
So northeast okay. California,
Death Valley.
Yeah,
probably can't hear it in Death Valley.
I was looking at going for a multi-day bike ride in Death Valley recently.
I've heard, and I've done a number of, this is a financial program, we'll get back to it, but Pat and I are catching up on life with each other. I've done a number of cycling vacations over the years. My wife and I enjoy doing it, and done it with family. And I was talking to someone who, one of the guides who's guided bike trips all over the world. They said Death Valley is one of their favorite spots
biking. It looked beautiful, especially this time of year.
I just think of this flat, desolate.
But when the flowers are coming out. You know,
that's what I hear.
The most beautiful place I've ever cycled, and I've cycled through large parts of the United States, was Zion National Park.
You know, I was talking
to. I brought a tear to my eye. I truly, and I'm not a sentimental guy. If you knew me at all, you'd say McLean.
Oh, no. Pat's one of these guys. He acts like tough guy. It's thin veneer, though. It's right. Like a Mr. Tough, but you've actually got a big soft heart. I've seen you cry a number of times.
I know. I actually do.
I cry. It's usually about other people.
I cry at weddings and funerals. Zion National Park. Beautiful. Beautiful.
I was talking to a client of mine the other day who lives right by Zion. Oh. They retired. They moved there. They did. It's interesting. One of the interesting things about being a financial advisor is we get a chance to spend time with people and talk about what their retirement experiences are like, right? So much of this program is talked about, and financial plans talked about retirement, right? You watched ads on television. I was watching one. It was like the finish line. I thought, I don't know if it's really the finish line. That's just another chapter in your life, right? Yeah. Another season. It's not quite the finish just because you hit retirement. And a lot of people actually continue to do some sort of employment.
And, most people don't do retirement well.
Well, no, that's why I might say this couple, they used to enjoy snowmobiling a lot. He's a big guy, too, big, strong guy. They used to snowmobile a lot, but I think they're both 70 or so now. They moved to Utah near Zion.
Like St. George or?
Somewhere on, I think they're probably in the middle of, I don't know where they are. But they have, what do they call it, a little Razor or something, a little mini off-road vehicle, four-wheel drive call, drive, I don't know.
Okay, and that's what they
You've seen those? Like a souped-up golf cart, like a big.
Yeah.
Yeah. They love it.
Like
they say
like Huskies or something like that?
I think they call theirs a Razor. It'll go, I think it's street legal. I don't know. It sounds dangerous to me. But they would tell me about how they go all through the.
They're doing retirement well.
They say they love it. They say they get up early in the morning sometimes, and they'll drive out in these nice little roads with their
pack
little.
Pack a lunch or?
I don't know if they pack a lunch. Maybe they have a little barbecue.
Pack okay. a lunch. I don't know. Just make a conversation here. Just trying to kill some time, Scott.
Kill time. You're trying to kill time. This is not the place to kill time. This is a well-scripted program.
Yes, it is. Anyway, so I mentioned retirement. Retirement is something that to make it successful, the finance is part of it, but the biggest part to make it successful is to put some thought and energy into what you're going to do with your days. How does your life look? Is it travel? And what we find is most people that do it fairly well isn't 100% based on them. A lot of people that do it very well become involved in their communities, either through charities or social groups.
Well, it's interesting, Pat. With retirement, I saw a study recently. The average retiree spends 39 hours in front of a television each week. That's the average retiree.
That's a lot of TV.
I was talking to another client of mine this last week. This guy's interesting. He is 69. Works for Google, of all places. He's like the sage, right?
Oh, yeah, because he's like the oldest guy.
But
he's the oracle at Google.
Yeah. So this guy, he retired he's a telecommunications specialist on, I think, laying cable and laying wires and stuff. He's an engineer of some sort, specialist of this sort of thing. And he retired from the phone company a long time ago, 15, 20 years, maybe 20 years ago. And he was talking to me, he says he's been in and out of retirement four times since he retired. And so I was talking about it. I'll call him Bill. I said, tell me, he says, he was telling me how much fun he's having doing Google. He says, it's still, we're doing a lot of the basic stuff. He says, most of the time he just works out of his bedroom. Or he says, my office is 8 steps from away from my bedroom and most of the days. But he says, I go down to the Google campus periodically. He says, they'd like me to travel, but I don't want to travel. So
he's doing retirement well.
Yeah,
he's
so I was talking to him. I says, well, the biggest danger for retirement is the lazy boy chair and the clicker. He says, that's the closest, soonest, easiest way to get to death. So I said, how much longer are you going to be doing this gig? He says, I don't know. I'll do it until I'm not having fun anymore, and then I'll probably retire again for some time. And so four times he's done this.
Good for him.
And it's getting more and more common that we're seeing this sort of thing. I did see a study this last week, and this wasn't a pretty study. This study was on how older women are working more in retirement. So, and sometimes we see it, right? You'll see it. You'll be at a Starbucks. It's one thing when you're at Starbucks and you're seeing a 20-year-old barista.
Yeah, but it's one thing if they're doing it because they want to versus to.
This study dealt with a lot of people that were.
They had to.
They had to because the finances weren't there. In 1992, roughly 20 years ago, a little more than 20 years ago, 1 in 12 women above age 65 were in the workforce. That's all.
Now what? So 8% approximately.
1 in 12. Today it's 1 in 7.
15%.
Yeah, about double. About twice as many. And it's the one area that economists are seeing a growth in the workforce
is
women over age 65.
And actually, so to that, on our website, moneymatters.com, a ebook worth reading is called The Nine Biggest Worries, because it addresses things like that. The Nine Biggest Worries.
Yeah, and it's one thing, as I was talking about my
moneymatters.com
client, Bill, we called him Bill, who's working for Google at age 69, which is probably a great way to stay youthful. Just tell me how to talk about the campus and stuff. It's really
because
helpful.
He wants to.
Because he wants to.
Yeah.
And he enjoys it.
Yeah.
He finds meaning out of it.
Yeah. So the nine biggest worries on moneymatters.com ebook it's about a 15, 20 minute read.
The key.
We wrote it ourselves.
The key, or a key, is not so that you can retire as soon as possible, but that you are in a position to retire.
What was the statistic? Something like 52 or 53% of retirees retire not on their own terms. What was the
different
number?
Different studies. Voya Financial had a study. It was 58%. 58%, according to Voya Financial study. So it's going to be in somewhere in this ballpark. Half of us are going to retire earlier than we'd planned. Half of us retire earlier than we planned.
Because of job structure change.
Yep.
Movement of the job. Demotion. Health is the number one. Your health, spouse's health, child's health, mother's health.
And how often do we see that?
Oh, in our own firm. We see people taking time off to take care of their parents.
Well, retiring early. What's retirement going to be like? Well,
I'm going to take care of my mom.
Yeah. My sister's been doing it for a while. Now it's my turn. I'm going to retire. And yeah, we see it all the time. So part of the thing at Hanson McLean, and the reason we do this program and have been doing it for years, is to help people make wise choices in their life so that work is an option and not an obligation, so that you've got the financial security to make decisions for yourself. So you're not showing up for work at 8 o'clock on Monday, because if you don't, the paycheck's going to be cut off and you're going to be evicted. That's not why you're showing up for work. You're showing up for work because you're going because you believe it's a good place where you can use your skills, where you can add value to other people's lives and have purpose and meaning.
Yeah.
Assuming that's what you want to do. Maybe not everyone. Yeah. Not everyone wants to keep working.
Yes.
But we understand that. But you want to be in a position where work is an option.
Not an obligation.
Yeah. But that's why when I look at, it was 1 in 12 women were working beyond age 65 in 1992. Now it's 1 in 7. But to your point, Pat, I'm sure a lot of those, it's not just because.
They want to.
I have family members in their 70s that are working, not because they have to.
Because they have to or not?
Not because they have to.
Oh, absolutely. Your mom still works, doesn't she? Or your stepdad?
My stepdad, who's 75, went back to work, and my mom, who's 70. Wait a minute. She's 76. Yeah, she's 77.
Would your mom be comfortable actually you saying that on the air? Or?
She never listens to the
show.
She
doesn't.
No, she's
not at all.
No.
Does she even know you have a radio show?
I don't know. No, because she'll call sometimes in the middle of the show.
I said,
Mom, you realize I've got every hour for years I've had been working at this time.
And she's like, son.
Honey, when are you going to come visit? I'm just kidding. I'm joking. My mother lives. I'm seeing my mother this very weekend.
I know. I mean, where else could you get good ribbon candy other than your mom's house?
Candy. But they are both working.
Not because they want to.
Because they want
to. I saw your mother and stepfather at that awards deal that they had, where you got an award for some community involvement, Sacramento, from the chamber, Metro Chamber. Nice dinner. But your mom was telling me she actually goes to work with your stepdad.
I don't think
doesn't get.
I was going to say, I don't think she's actually getting paid.
She doesn't get paid. She's just because she likes spending time with him. And so he's out in the field. And she said,
she's
I said,
76.
So
and that's
she does the paperwork and doesn't get paid. And so she said, we're much more efficient that way, Pat. I said, you're the greatest employee ever because it's two
okay,
for the price
we
of gotta one.
We got to take a break. If you want to join the program, we'll go to calls as soon as we come back. 888-2-HANSON's the number. 888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766. Helping you take the worry out of your retirement, it's back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McClain.
Glad you're with us on this weekend as we're talking about financial issues. Thank you for that music there, John. You know, it's funny about our producer, John. He's 28 years old, bright colored socks, 2 days worth of stubble. And the music he picks is all music for, like, our era.
Yes. That was Lynyrd Skynyrd.
You can't have too much Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Nah, come on.
Although, you know, it's interesting. Young kids listen to my son, who's 18. I was in his car. Well, it's my car that he's driving. But he was and he had Pink Floyd playing. Pink Floyd. He's become a big Pink Floyd fan. I said, as long as you don't start smoking any of that marijuana stuff with Pink Floyd at the same time.
Yeah, son. Yes, yes.
I wasn't joking about it, actually. It's like, you know.
So he's not listening to Adele. Your son's not a huge Adele fan.
I don't know if he's a huge Adele fan.
All right.
And my daughter says she's 20. She says she can't stand Taylor Swift. I said, how can you not like Taylor Swift?
Everyone likes Taylor Swift.
That's what I said. Everyone likes Taylor
Swift.
Everyone
but Kanye likes Taylor Swift.
Does Kanye have a rift with?
Don't you remember last year he got up and then some sort of an awards? Nope. Like, I don't remember. There's so many stinking awards.
I don't watch.
It wasn't on television. You could have read about it in People magazine, Scott.
I don't read People magazine either.
People magazine.
I don't either. I'm making that up. I assume that.
But in fact, Taylor Swift this year, when she received an award, she kind of poked a little bit at Kanye.
Right. This is a financial program. Now, how are we talking about? I cannot believe this financial program is talking about Taylor Swift and Kanye. And
all right. We got to take the call.
Let's go to
The calls.
Yeah, we got to go
before
to call.
I embarrass myself with my
poor
knowledge of
this. Poor Jan's been waiting 12 minutes.
Kanye, I think he's a rapper. I don't know what
it is. Is it still rap anymore? It's hip hop. Hip hop, Pat. You got to get with it here. Hip hop. No. All right, we're going to talk with Jan. Jan, you're with Hanson McClain. Thanks for holding.
Hi. I'm hoping you can help me. I'm trying to decide if I am able to retire at the end of the year. My company is changing its retirement medical plan.
Oh.
And yeah, so from. I would actually be, if I retire at the end of the year, it would be, they pay for the full medical at age 65.
They pay for it at age 65 or between the now and age 65?
Age, starting at age 65.
And how old are you today?
60.
Okay.
Okay. And I just want to make sure that, you know, to see if I have enough, you know, in order to do that without having my medical, you know, some of my medical taken away when I'm going to need it the most.
And how will you have medical between now and age 65?
Well, I'm going to have to pay for it myself.
Okay. So you want to you want us to look at the financial, whether you can do it this financially?
Financially, as well as I had some questions in regards to, you know, I'm assuming that SSDI, Social Security and Medicare taxes are no longer taken out.
That's correct.
I wasn't sure about
that's correct.
So what about the pension?
Then, I'm going to step back real quick.
Okay.
So when you hit age 65, the vast majority of your medical expenses are going to be covered through Medicare.
And in fact, what they would pay for normally in a retirement plan is what is called a Medicare supplement.
Yes.
And the cost of a Medicare supplement is relatively inexpensive, a couple hundred dollars a month.
Particularly compared to what medical is going to cost you between now and 65.
So that wouldn't be the biggest driver in retiring.
It would be if it meant between, obviously, if you're going to retire this December or next June, for example. But you could also find, and I hate to say this, there's no guarantee that they're going to continue that going forward. So we've worked with retirees that retired from companies where they had lifetime medical at no cost, and now they're paying $150 a month towards their medical, even though it was told to them that it was no cost.
So, Jan, we're going to answer your question, but before I forget, I would encourage you to go to our website, moneymatters.com, and I did a webinar called The 7 Personal Decision Points of Retirement, and it talks about retirement transition, and it's – the first thing that you actually asked was number one, which is how much money do I need? And or my pension and Medicare actually are going to go away. Those payroll taxes are going to go away. So you need that much less. So let's talk about your situation now. You're 60 years of age. Are you married?
No, I'm a widow.
Okay. And how long ago did your husband pass away?
15 years ago.
15. So yes. Here's one of the things that you may or may not know is that you have a survivor's benefit on his Social Security that you could start at age 60.
Yes, I do know that.
Okay.
Assuming she's not working.
Assuming you're not working. Yeah. So that's number right. one. So that's a source of income, which actually comes in step number 7 of the personal decision points. So how much are you earning now? What's your income?
I'm earning about $81,000 now.
And how much are you putting into your 401k or 457?
Probably per year. Oh, shoot. It probably is about $5,000 or $6,000
Okay, so if you take the payroll taxes and this $5,000 or $6,000 a year, it's approximately $12,000 a year that you're putting into both of those. Which means that if I start with $89,000 and I take those dollars out,
$81,000.
You're going to need to replace approximately $69,000 in income to have the same exact standard of living.
Right. Okay.
Do you own your home?
Yes, I do. I have a small mortgage on it of about $160,000.
160?
Yes.
And tell me how much is in your
How many years left on that?
It's a 30-year loan. My house is worth about $1.2 million.
Okay. And do you plan on staying in that home?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you refinanced lately?
No.
This might not be a bad idea. Time rates are low. Once you retire, the home is paid off in 24 years from now or 30 years from now doesn't really make any difference, right? So
what you're trying to do is
get the payment as low as possible.
Payments as low as possible. How much money do you have in your 401k or 457?
My 401k, $70,000, and my IRA, $130,000.
Okay, and do you have any other assets?
About $20,000 in savings.
Okay.
What kind of pension do you think you'll have? You said you'll have a pension?
Right. I'll have a pension of about $4,000 a month.
And how much will you receive in the survivor's benefit on the Social Security?
About $1,900 a month.
Yeah, you can retire.
That's it right there.
You're done. There you go.
Okay.
Your standard of living.
No,
that was easy.
Well, and here's how it's so easy.
Okay.
Yeah, $4,000 a month. That's $48,000 a year from your pension. And you've got roughly, let's call it $2,000 a month from Social Security, right? That's another $24,000. You add those two together, and you're right, the number we were looking at.
Yep, easy. And you don't have to touch the 401k or IRA. I'd recommend consulting them into a well-managed, diversified portfolio in an IRA.
Are you a state employee, or where's your pension?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
So your
pension probably... It probably does not have a cost of living adjustment, right? So that $4,000 a month, as time goes on, that'll be worth less and less to you.
But
which means that your 401k and your IRA, if you can let those continue to grow, which you should be able to.
Which you should be able to easily and use that as a COLA. And as a last resort, you've got $840,000 in equity in your home. You could do a reverse.
Last
resort. If you don't care how much money
when
the kids.
When you're 80 some odd years old.
Do you have children?
I have, yes, children.
Okay.
Yes,
if you don't care how much money the kids are going to get when you pass away, you can do a reverse mortgage on the home.
Wouldn't recommend it now, obviously.
Wouldn't recommend it, but it's the last resort. And you're fine. You can call.
Frankly,
go to work tomorrow.
It's because it's the
survivor benefit on the Social Security.
It's the survivor benefit on the Social Security, and it's the pension.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's the
right.
pension.
Okay.
Because as you're going, I'll be real honest with you. As you're going through the numbers,
I'm thinking,
you're
not going to happen.
You're not saving the maximum in your 401k. And you got a relatively high salary you got to replace. And once we said the pension, we're like,
you're done. Congratulations, Dan.
Well, thank you.
Where are you going? Where's your first trip?
Gonna come see you.
Who knows? I haven't decided that. I was just trying to figure out whether I would, I really could retire with that
easily.
And now, if I should decide to remove or take out some money from my 401k and IRA, 401k and IRA, is it best to take it out in small monthly?
Yes,
increments?
Yes, but
you'll find your your take home income is going to be higher.
It's going to be higher in retirement. You're actually going to have more spendable, especially if you refinance this $160,000 mortgage into a new 30-year fixed or even a 40-year fixed rate mortgage. You're going to get those payments. Your net spendable income will be much higher in retirement than it is today.
Okay. Now, it's at 3.875.
Sure.
When did you last refinance it?
Last year.
All right.
You're fine.
Leave it alone.
Okay. You're not going to make that payment. Yeah. But you're comfortable. You're great. Congratulations.
And remember, once you're retired, and you knew it, Jane, you were asking us the question. Once you're retired, you no longer have to pay into Social Security.
But you're going to have to buy your own health insurance, according to you, which is going to cost you.
Now, what about the pension? Will I end up having to pay for, Social Security?
No. Go through and watch the 7 personal decision points at moneymatters.com. It's about 20 minutes long. It's a webinar I did. It will explain exactly what we went through in order to give you that decision.
Yeah.
And not just, maybe you can retire, 100% confident that you can retire tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, hey, we got to go. The clock's up against Jan. We wish you well. Congrats on retirement. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters. This is Hanson McLean.
To join the show, call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766.
Nice to meet you. Where you been? I could show you incredible things. Magic.
Can't always catch Money Matters on the radio each week? Get a podcast of the show delivered to your device every week. Visit moneymatters.com. Now back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. What were you just talking about, Taylor Swift and Kanye West? All right, John, if you're really good, play some Kanye West. Kanye, was that his last name?
I don't play any Kanye West.
Is that his last name, or am I making that up? Kanye West.
Yeah, don't play any. He's trying to get that money. He's trying to get... don't play any. We don't want that
guy. This financial program, we talk about financial issues. If you want to join the program here, to join Hanson McLean, there's still time to take a call. 1-888-2-HANSON to join the program. Again, that's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. And like I said, there's still time to take a call. We'd love to take a call regarding a financial question that you've got. 1-888-2-HANSON to join the program. And before we grab this call, the next call here, I mentioned at the beginning of the program, I want to make sure we talk about. I saw this ad, it was the headline for an article this week. Funds that lose less can be winners over time was the headline. And it highlighted a few mutual funds that have done relatively well this year compared to the broad stock market.
Okay.
And as I started to read this, I thought, this is doing such a disservice because what this is kind of saying is...
Encouraging
you to say, maybe I should get out of the stock fund that's down more and get into this thing... But the fact is, when you look at returns, it's history. This is what happened, not what's going to happen. This is what has already transpired.
In fact, an asset class that is out of favor may actually be the very best investment for you. And in fact, when we manage money, when we manage this $2 billion plus portfolio, for many, many thousands of clients around the United States, when we rebalance a portfolio, when you're selling bonds and buying stocks, that is exactly what you're doing in a rebalance, is selling the asset class that has done the best and buying the asset class that's done the worst. And it's counterintuitive, isn't it?
Your best, let's say you own 8 mutual funds, as an example, and you went and looked right now and say, what did the worst the last 2 years? Assuming it was broadly diversified, if you looked at what did the worst 2 years, there's a good probability that that is going to be the one that does the best the next 5 years.
So this,
maybe not next week or next quarter or even the next year, but over the next 5 years.
You've heard the saying, I'm sure, buy low, sell high. That's exactly what we do in our portfolios when we rebalance.
So if you are sitting there looking, only at those funds that had the highest relative return the last year. You are going to be buying things that have not been beat up in this current downturn. You're going to be buying those areas that have yet to be beat up, and they will be beat up at some point in time.
Probably right after you buy them.
I mean, it's the thing we see over and over. And doggone, we'll see studies.
And this is an article you saw in a financial journal?
Yes. I don't know if it was the Wall Street Journal or the MarketWatch.com or Yahoo Finance. One of those. That was the headline of it. The article might have done a better
job. That was the headline. Did you read the article?
Yeah, I read the article. It didn't tell me anything. It didn't say, you know what, if you want to buy more of something, pick out the fund that's done the worst. There's a good chance. And if it's an index fund, there's a higher probability.
Chance, yes. Since
just be careful.
Because
don't allocate your 401k by what has done the best the last couple of years.
Asset classes.
You're buying things for the future.
Asset classes. You know, maybe they don't always revert to their mean, but they have historically.
Things return, yes, at some point in time. Back to normal. Anyway, we're going to get to the calls here. 1-888-2-HANSEN. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters, and we're going to talk with Dennis. Dennis, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi.
Hello, Dennis.
How you doing?
We're doing fantastic. How are you doing, sir?
Fine. My question is about Social Security.
Okay.
I am 68 years old. I retired from education at 62 with my pension coming from SDRS.
Okay. Which is, for the rest of the listeners, that's the state teacher retirement system.
Correct. I have paid into Social Security over my lifetime, so I have more than my 40 quarters in the system. But my benefits from Social Security are means tested because my SDRS windfall elimination provision falls into play.
That's correct.
WEP, yep.
I started taking my reduced Social Security at 65, but I have been working in another field since my retirement at 62 and have been paying into Social Security ever since.
Right.
And that amounts to about $3,500 a year. My question is, will my benefit from Social Security be adjusted when I take myself completely out of the workforce?
It should be adjusted each year currently.
Yes, and I think, do they still have that provision where you can pay back your Social Security benefit? Do they still have that? They don't have that.
No.
That was eliminated.
That's correct.
Okay. I love the fact that they called this.
I'm 99% sure on that, by the way.
I'm not 100% certain.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But we have, by the way, on our website, moneymatters.com, we have two things on Social Security. One's a webinar. We do speak to these issues. I've just
which is the windfall for those teachers that retire, that they actually have the courtesy of calling it the windfall elimination provision. The windfall. Like you won the lottery.
No. That's an insult.
Isn't it insulting? The windfall. You're like, wow, Dennis.
It could be
good job on the windfall. Yeah.
But on moneymatters.com, the webinar, and there's also an ebook, The 10 Things Everyone Must Know About Social Security.
So your Social Security benefit should have been adjusted every year based upon those deposits. And
Is it not? Has it not gone up at all? Of course, they keep increasing Medicare Part B, so they give you a little bit more on the Social Security and take it away in Medicare B premiums.
Yes, because they automatically deduct my Medicare for my Plan F, the gap.
Yep.
From my Social Security payment, so I really don't see it. So, yeah, it hasn't changed a lot since in the past 6 years. So my guess is what you're saying that they're gradually increasing it and they're gradually
otherwise it would have gone backwards
because there's no cost of living adjustment last year.
So, I would check to see if they used to have a provision where you could buy.
Why would he want to do that? He didn't.
It might make sense for him. Do you need the income? Or you?
I'm 99% sure you can't buy it back.
All right. Anymore. Scott's right.
I didn't say it was right.
All right.
Okay.
Anything else, Dennis? All right.
But appreciate the call.
Glad you called. And on that, Pat, so what this is, allows people to buy back, to take money that they've been receiving from Social Security.
And pay it back. And then get 99%. It increased.
Did you have any client ever take advantage of that?
No.
Academically, it sounds good. Yes. You're going to get a higher
payout. I've done the calculation. I've recommended it. It is just
who's going to give
the government more money just voluntarily?
Right. That's what it is. Geez, I'll give you more money in the promise that you're going to have a...
And the big danger in there is your life expectancy, obviously.
Social Security is an interesting thing. And
for
many retirees, it provides the majority of their retirement income. And if you, or maybe you've got a loved one that doesn't have much saved for retirement, for that individual, waiting until age 70 might be crucial for them. I don't understand why Social Security still allows people to take it as early as 62.
So the more you need the money, the longer you should postpone getting the money.
So what happens? They increase the retirement age from 65 to 67. It's age 66 today. But they didn't increase the age of the early age at which you can receive it.
So you could still take it at age 62, but you're going to receive some 70% of the benefit.
For those that really need Social Security, wait till age 70. And on the other end of the spectrum, let's say you're Bill Gates.
Okay.
Take it as soon as you can get it.
Yeah, because there's a good chance they're going to take it away from you through taxation or means testing.
Yeah.
So
I would, even this election cycle, there was a couple of candidates.
Chris Christie was advocating. So two things on our website, moneymatters.com, which is the Social Security.
And Money Matters, by the way, this is Hanson McLean's Money Matters Academy, Hanson McLean advisory firm. We also do this radio program. I have about 4,000 clients. But we have an educational academy. Our Money Matters Educational Academy is at moneymatters.com. And you were saying, Pat?
Oh, so there's the Social Security ebook as well as the webinar. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, the 7 Personal Decision Points webinar, which walks people through this process, this unique process that we have developed. We've developed software. All our advisors use it in helping people to determine what their retirement looks like from a financial standpoint.
Yeah. So we'd encourage you to
go to moneymatters.com.
And also this was a financial program we broadcast on the station every weekend, this same hour. So glance at your clock, you'll see the hour that we broadcast at. Obviously different hours in different markets because we're on several markets. But many listeners listen through a podcast. And if you enjoy listening through podcasts, you can get this podcast. You could either go to moneymatters.com and at Money Matters just sign up for the podcast or just go to iTunes. iTunes search Hanson McLean. iTunes search Hanson McLean and you can sign up for the podcast and it will be delivered to your mobile device each and every week. And we think it's a great show and I hope you do. The music means we're out of time.
Appreciate you listening.
Yeah. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. I know we will. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.